The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Good Tuesday. Hope you had a great long weekend. I did all sorts of cool things. It was one of those weekends where I'm at an Overwatch tournament. And because it is e-gaming. If you're not into e-gaming, it's fine. It doesn't have to be for you, but it is for the masses. It was at ASU on Saturday. It was packed. Saturday, I went from e-gaming to sitting with a billionaire at a soccer game. I'm sure I've sat with billionaires before. I believe Ken Kendrick is a billionaire. But this is the first time that I've sat with a billionaire who just came into Phoenix and was now part of the sports ownership of Phoenix Rising. Those of you that have watched this, or if you've not seen or heard me through the years, I'm very big on the MLS coming here to Phoenix, and I believe that they took a big step last week. I wanted to meet the newest owner. I sat with him. Really interesting guy. I'll tell you how he made his money a little bit later in the show. It was fascinating to do that. Played some golf, and I don't know, just kind of hung out and got away from it all. There was a lot that was happening outside of the Olympic Games. The Olympics, let's start there. In our opening commentary brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, guys, protect what matters most. You need to get your life insurance. Have you even thought about it? First time ever? Like, yeah, maybe I've got these kids and this wife, got these commitments, and I don't have anything there to protect myself or to protect them. Life insurance. Sagicor Now, log on for a free quote at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Pedro Gomez is going to be on the show today. Always good to catch up with Pedro. He joined us during the regular season on a pretty regular basis. We're going to talk about J.D. Martinez signing with the Red Sox, Bryce Harper, and other stuff. But I want to start with the Olympics today. Have you guys noticed, Eric, have you seen much of the Olympics? I know you've been running around doing things, but have you checked out the Olympics much here?
Very minimally.
Have you noticed empty seats when you minimally have watched?
I have noticed empty seats.
And there's a lot of empty seats. I get it that NBC is paying $7.6
billion.
I know. And we're getting our butts kicked, too. That's what's...
Yeah, we're not performing very well as a country.
No. What is that all about? Shouldn't we be better at...
Well, it just gives us more motivation to dominate the summer games. So,
is that right? Is that where you're at?
I don't know. I don't know the mindset. I'm just saying that.
So nearly 40% of the tickets have not been purchased as of yet. And there's a week to go. 40%. So in South Korea, they actually have people that are there that they're paying to sit in seats to try to fill up venues, which I think is kind of interesting.
Seat fillers.
Yeah, that's not a bad gig.
Yeah, like that old episode when Kramer was a seat filler on Seinfeld.
Sure.
That's what it reminds me of. And speaking of winter games, Brad, I should tell you this quick story.
Yeah.
I was scheduled to go skiing with a friend yesterday, so I got up bright and early, drove all the way to Flagstaff.
They wouldn't let you in.
Got to the base of the mountain, and guess what? There were more cars turning around and leaving the mountain than going up to the mountain due to high winds. So rain check on skiing and a nice turnaround trip to Flagstaff.
Would you have followed what you and I have discussed here on the Olympic Games? It doesn't matter how windy it is. We want crashes. So would you have gone skiing if they let you in as windy as
sure.
It?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. And actually in the town of Flagstaff, I guess it's a city. It's big enough to be a city. It was not that windy. But just going up in elevation just a little bit as you get closer to the mountain, it was definitely super windy. And they lost a lot of money. I'm sure they didn't want to close the mountain on a holiday, but they had to.
We want bodies flying. That's what we want.
Not my body flying.
You and I have not seen each other since the ASU U of A game.
We have not, but we've chatted frequently as we do from time to time.
I don't know about frequently. I kind of missed you for a few days.
Did you?
I did. I went silent. You were at the ASU U of A game. Mm-hmm. I was not.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Ayton, I wrote, should be the number one overall pick. It's time for Robert just to lose every stinking game that is left. Would you agree?
I didn't realize until I saw him in person just how ridiculous he is. I sat next to Chris Cartman, who comes on this show a lot, and we talked almost the entire game about DeAndre Ayton, and he thinks he's the best big man prospect since Lew Alcindor. And I'm not I don't know that much about him. I've seen him on TV several times, but it's impossible to think that somebody that tall, that young, and that skilled and that dominant Brad at both ends of the court
yeah.
could only be a freshman in college. He's unbelievably talented. And like what you talked about with Matt Muehlbach, if U of A would just toss him the ball every possession, instead they only get it to him like every two or three possessions, because most of his points and rebounds came on putbacks
right,
and things like that. So
I felt like
great game, by the way. Just really entertaining game by both teams.
Yeah, and I was talking to someone at ASU the next day, and they still don't believe they're in the tournament. They're in the tournament. They're RPI. I'm getting fatigued on, and I'm probably going to write this, and I'm probably going to get hate on this, and it's fine. I don't care. Okay? The curtain of distraction has jumped the shark. It's time to go away. Curtain of distraction is something you do to fill time when Herb Sendek is the coach. Bobby Hurley is not Herb Sendek. Bobby Hurley is Duke, North Carolina. Correct me if I'm wrong. Do Duke, North Carolina need to have curtain of distraction? And when U of A is just killing ASU at the free throw line, okay, and you have guys jumping around in their boxers, slapping their butts with a rubber ducky around them, and they're still making the free throws, it's amateurish now. It's done. It was funny 5 years ago when there was no reason to go watch ASU basketball other than when James Harden was there.
And Michael Buffer doing the starting lineups.
Yeah, where were you at on that one?
It's one of those don't poke the bear things, because U of A started the game and went on like this huge run.
Right.
They started 10 of 12 from the field. So whoever paid to have Michael Buffer come out and do the starting lineups, and someone put on Twitter, I hope someone explained to the ASU students who Michael Buffer really is.
Yeah.
Because most millennials have no idea who he is. He's just some good-looking older gentleman in a suit with a great set of pipes. But it's not necessary. Just beat U of A. Don't worry about the pomp and circumstance. Don't worry about the curtain of distraction. And ASU had their chances last week. They certainly did.
Bobby is now 0-6 against Sean. So, or against U of A. Against Sean, what am I saying? What else did you catch? Because I'm going to do some NFL stuff in the next segment and the JD stuff. I guess we can do JD because we've got Pedro here in like 15 minutes.
Well, the one thing I didn't catch, thankfully, was the NBA All-Star game on Sunday. But I did watch the dunk contest, and I loved Nance imitating Dad with the dunk.
Where was I Saturday? Oh, I was at Overwatch. And then I was at
Nance Jr., that is.
Nance Jr. He did the exact same dunk, right?
Yeah, in the exact same old school Suns uniforms, that with the sunburst along the side and the Phoenix across the front and the old Western look.
So this was a good weekend for the Suns, even though they had nobody in the game.
It was. Yeah, Devin Booker wins the three-point shootout.
Do you think that when Devin Booker is at All-Star weekends, that he's having players come up to him saying, hey, man, we would be really good together. You should come play on my team?
Without a doubt in my mind. Like every player.
Every player.
Hey, so I know you're in Phoenix, and they haven't been to the playoffs since?
May 27th, 2010.
So when you become a free agent, or when you have your agent force your way out of the Valley,
Yes. Feel
free to come over to Contender Fill in the Blank and play with me.
I saw that he won it. I did not make it. Here's what I saw of All-Star Weekend. I saw Fergie.
That was not good.
I saw it live. Well, here's my thing on Fergie, okay? So if you sang the national anthem or I sang the national anthem, it wouldn't be good either, right? But we're not paid performers to do this. So it would not be like the best if I said I'm going to sing the national anthem. I would like to sing the national anthem at a sporting event. I have never done it. I've done first pitches. I've done other stuff. It's not something that is on my bucket list, but I'd like to do it. It'd be fun. Take the whole staff, or take a bunch of fans, and we just go down on the court and we do our thing. That'd be fun. Or a sporting event. The thing about Fergie was she tried to do something that was different. I've said on this show and other shows many times through the years that the national anthem at times gets a little tiresome when it becomes Star Search, when it becomes a demo tape, when it becomes, really, we're going to go 3 minutes on this one, huh? When it becomes just over the top. And so Fergie tried something different, and everybody's crushing her and killing her. Did she disrespect the national anthem? I was at Roseanne Barr in San Diego. Those of you that are old enough to remember the Roseanne Barr episode of the national anthem, that was a big deal. I'm on the air in San Diego. It is a military town. And Roseanne is doing her thing. She's grabbing her crotch. She's screaming it. I even thought about sending Eric a note about let's show Roseanne today. But for context purposes, just trust me on this. Roseanne's was not good. And it was far worse than what Fergie did the other night. Fergie's wasn't great, but everybody's got a different spin on doing the anthem. And there's times where I do feel as though that doing it at sporting events, people do take it. They take it for granted that it should be done at every sporting event. And I feel as though it's being done at every sporting event for those who want to benefit themselves. And it doesn't necessarily have to be done at every sporting event. You can just put a recording on and put it up on the scoreboard rather than having somebody having to perform it live and there's audio issues or they forget the words or so on and so forth. I was at my seventh grade son's wrestling match a couple weeks ago, and they had a student come out and she forgot the words and we all had to finish it for her. It's fine. She gets the opportunity to sing in front of people. My daughter, she did it when she was an eighth grader. It's a proud moment for the parent, but is it just like, come on, really? Do we have to do this all the time and sit through things? And then we discuss, was this really worth the time? Was it worth the effort? And Fergie performed it, and I was hearing it going, wow, this really isn't good, but it's her. Let her do her own thing. There's bigger issues in this world right now. There just is. You guys know where I'm at on that. All right, on the other side, a little bit on J.D. Martinez, a new name with the Cardinals and for quarterback, and Pedro Gomez will be with us in about 15 minutes. Always good to have Pedro on board. That is coming up. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports television show tonight. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, Jordan Hamm will be hosting that tonight. Stay with us. So there's a new name that has surfaced for the Cardinals quarterback possibility. And every day this is going to be a topic if we choose it to be. Every day we can sit here and debate this like five guys sitting around a bar. We can put on guests. Eric and I can go back and forth. We can throw up pictures. But I'm not going to do the low-hanging fruit, easy stuff every single day unless there is some sort of angle that is new and different. There is in this case, and I'll get to that in a minute. Millennials are a big part of what we do. If you're into millennial hating, then there's probably times where you've yelled at me as you're sitting here watching or listening to the show. I was reading some research over the weekend where millennials on Facebook are down almost 22% year to year from November to November. 22%. Why is that? Is it because of the stress in our country? Is it because of the hate that's going on? Is it just because millennials are, stuff's not as important as it used to be? Any demographic below the age of 34, 18 to 34 in particular, Facebook is way, 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 way down. They're going different places. I found a place where many of them go to on Saturday, and this ties into the NFL. The NFL is an older demographic. There are places that will only have the older crowd watching NFL games. I've been into those sports bars. The people that I'm with that have kids or my own kids, when they're in the space of talking NFL, they are only talking about fantasy football and gambling. That's it. Nothing wrong with that, as long as they're of age. But I went to a place on Saturday in a sporting event on Saturday, and you will debate me whether this is a sporting event or not, and I will say that it is because the mental side of this was pretty amazing. If you have kids that play Overwatch, if you are a gamer yourself, the advent of esports and e-gaming in our country is exploding, up 500%. In the last 3 years, gamers across the country and even around the world, even greater than that. So what is this all about? I don't know the game Overwatch. All I know is my son, who's very active in sports, he doesn't sit in front of his computer and play games all day, and his buddies and people that I talk to that are high school athletes or even college athletes, they play games all the time. So we have some pictures of where I was on Saturday. This was Overwatch, and this was at ASU, and the Fiesta Bowl put this together, and this was really amazing. The fact that the Fiesta Bowl would say, you know what, we are going to get into e-gaming, showed me something about the direction of the bowl game. Look, if you're over 40, 50, you think this is dumb. You would not go to this. I'm sitting here just north of 50, and I went to it last Saturday, and I had no idea about the thought of the game. This is how cool it was for me. I took my 13-year-old with me to explain the idea of what the game was all about. And the place was packed, guys. And it wasn't just packed with kids. It wasn't just packed with 18 to 21-year-olds. No, there were people there that immediately went to the merchandise tent and went and bought stuff. And that place was packed. It looked great. That's right off my iPhone. They had us up on a second floor. Overwatch just dominated the day at ASU. There was a line wrapped around the building. And when someone would leave, there'd be people being let in to get the next seat. And people waited. They had food trucks out there. It was very friendly. Parking was free. I'm looking at the way that it was presented top to bottom. You go to a professional sporting event in this day and age, you're going to have to pay a boatload to park. You're going to see people that are in their 40s and 50s predominantly. People that this is how we grew up with. You go to that event, and parking's free. It's easy to get in. They had Mike Neely. Eric, you'll like this. They had Mike Neely from the Fiesta Bowl come speak. So this was being streamed on Twitch, which is like a gaming channel. And they had Mike Neely, and the girl that was interviewing him said, I'm sorry. And this girl's probably in her early 20s. Mike Neely's with the Fiesta Bowl. I'm sorry. I have no idea what the Fiesta Bowl is. Can you tell us a little bit about your game? And Mike's like, well, it's this, it's that. It's kind of like Overwatch. We had no idea what we were getting into, but obviously with the success of this group, we want to continue to be here. Yes, I'm sure there's people at the Fiesta Bowl that have been on the board, and they're all good people for 20, 30, 40 years that said, Overwatch, gaming, this is what's wrong with society. Not ripping on the Fiesta Bowl. That's just normal conversation with people over, I don't know, over about the age of 50 for the most part. And I saw more enthusiasm and energy from this young group. And the fact that Fiesta Bowl jumped in on it. And then I was talking to another professional sports franchise here in town, and I don't want to violate their confidence. I'm not going to say who it is, that said we had a 12-hour brainstorming meeting on how we need to get into e-gaming. If you go around the NBA, most NBA teams have an e-gaming side to them now. You have a big empty building that is sitting there most nights outside of concerts and circuses are going away. Concerts, conferences, and you can pack it with 18 to 34-year-olds that are going to go spend money and play games and buy merchandise. You've got a business. And so from a sporting standpoint, I'm looking at the kids that were rolled out there. They're from UC Irvine. They're from Arizona State and Arizona. They competed against one another. UC San Diego had a team. And these kids had a warm-up room. They had a workout center. I saw them going through their daily planning. And they have enormous followings. So I've told our staff when we first started this, and I actually have taught this at Cronkite at ASU, we have to start doing some e-gaming. We have to start doing some of it on the site because some of you are really interested in this. It's no different than us putting Jimmy Vaccaro on to talk gambling 6 years ago when the gambling explosion was just starting. It's no different than putting Michael Fabiano on to talk fantasy football when the fantasy football thing is exploding. E-gaming is a next. And you're like, okay, so how does this apply to AJ McCarron? It's the offseason of the NFL. The NFL wants to keep their name out there. They want to keep their brand out there. The Cardinals need a quarterback. It's low-hanging fruit. It's easy conversation. Who are they going to take in the draft? Is it going to be Josh Rosen? Is it going to be Josh Allen? Is it going to be Sam Darnold? So on and so forth. AJ McCarron is the latest name to surface, and the only reason why I'm bringing up AJ McCarron's name, formerly with the Cincinnati Bengals, had a grievance, got out of it, was going to go to Cleveland. Now he's sitting out there available. A.J. McCarron was a fifth-round pick by the Bengals, has not thrown a whole lot of footballs, has sat around on the sidelines. Is A.J. McCarron a better option than Teddy Bridgewater? I don't know, because A.J. McCarron just simply hasn't been out on the field. Is A.J. McCarron a better option than fill-in-the-blank other quarterbacks of the veteran side? Is he a better option than Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins is a true unrestricted free agent. Is there any reason to bring Kirk Cousins to the Arizona Cardinals? Is there any reason to bring A.J. McCarron to the Arizona Cardinals? I can make a more compelling argument about A.J. McCarron. A.J. McCarron is not going to cost you a boatload of money, as is the case with the Kirk Cousins. And do you want to bring Kirk Cousins here to Arizona to simply hold a football on extra points if your draft pick ends up being the real deal? The Cardinals can't go out and go after Kirk Cousins, in my view, and at the same time, go take Josh Rosen or Josh Allen or Sam Darnold or any of these quarterbacks. They can't do it. It makes zero sense. Why would you tie up huge amounts of dough in a guy, the veteran side, and then have this rookie come in and maybe he's ready to go? That is why, in my humble opinion, it's better that the Cardinals go with someone like Josh McCown. Someone maybe like A.J. McCarron. A.J. McCarron is interesting to me. But when I hear people that are lobbying for the Kirk Cousins side of the street, I just don't get it. What you're saying to me then is, bring Kirk Cousins here. We're not going to draft a quarterback because we need to find, this is the logic I usually get, we need a wide receiver to put opposite of Larry Fitzgerald because Larry's getting old and we need somebody else. We can plug two holes at the same time. No, that's not the way it should work. Kirk Cousins is going to be sitting out there. He comes here. If it doesn't work out with him, you're on the hook for a lot of money. Just because he's had some success doesn't mean he's the right guy. Drafting a quarterback with the first round pick at 15 or moving up and having someone like A.J. McCarron or Josh McCown, to me, is the way that they should go. Pedro Gomez is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So J.D. Martinez was a one and done, actually a half a done and gone off to Boston. This is no big surprise. And he was brought here to do one thing. I'm going to make it sound like he was a mercenary. And I don't mean that disrespectfully to J.D. Martinez, but that's what he was. He was brought here to do his job. He did. He goes to Boston. He gets a big contract, not as big as Scott Boras wanted, but it's a big contract nonetheless. It's a great time in Phoenix around the Cactus League. Today is the media day, meaning every one of the baseball teams is going to converge. There's two events today, one that starts at 11, one this afternoon. Pedro's going to be at the one this afternoon over in Glendale. Pedro Gomez with us, ESPN baseball analyst, insider. Eric and I saw you the other day on the air. Did you change your look, first of all? We have to get to the bottom of this. Eric said he looks a little different. Did you change your look?
I don't think so.
All right. Maybe it was a new wardrobe.
I'm always, not always, but I, you know, try to mix up the wardrobe a little bit.
Yeah, all right. I'm just.
I've been running a little bit. Maybe that's it.
Is that it?
I don't know.
We looked up at you and it's like, oh, there's Pedro. He looks different. So that's it. It's a compliment. Don't take
maybe
the
lighting was off. Who knows?
Oh, that's the worst. That's too much inside baseball, so to speak. All right. So JD Martinez, this is no surprise, right?
It was a long shot for him to come back. And I think because of the success he had here, it kind of got the front office thinking, hey, maybe we can get creative and try to get him back. But I don't know that it was ever realistic, and it's not a big surprise that he ended up in Boston. It kind of makes sense. You're looking at a ball club that has pretty deep pockets. They were last in the American League in home runs last year, and that's kind of unacceptable for a club that plays at Fenway Park. They should probably never be last in home runs. And, it was a situation where the fit was almost perfect.
Pedro Gomez with us, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. So when you're talking about Jerrod Dyson and you're talking too about the future of the outfield, you're the one that broke this story on J.D. Martinez leaving. Can you break any news on A.J. Pollock's future in Arizona?
You know, it's almost going to be imperative that they try to re-sign him because he is he's known within the game as being a very good center fielder and a high-level player. I think it's one of those things where they kind of fans here might not see what front office executives see. Like if AJ Pollock was to hit the free agent market, he'd be a very desirable piece in other places. And that's something the Diamondbacks are going to have to grapple with. Do we let him hit free agency and try to keep him, or do we try to keep him before he hits free agency? My guess is that he is too valuable a piece, and you've got to try to keep him now while you can. You saw Adam Eaton when the Diamondbacks traded him to the White Sox, and then he became a free agent, and the Washington Nationals said, we're going to give him four for, I think it was like $70 million.
Right.
He got big, big money. And I think a lot of people here were like, really, Adam Eaton? Center fielders who can cover a lot of ground and have a potent bat, those guys are not a dime a dozen. There's not a lot of those guys. And Pollock is one of those guys who's probably reaching right, the prime years of his career are probably going to be the next 5 years. And he's here. You know what you have.
Right.
So I would be surprised if they don't try to lock him up.
Okay, so you and I have been chatting every year about Paul Goldschmidt for 5 or 6 years that we've been doing this, okay? And every year it comes back, at least on Derek's front and the Diamondbacks' front, well, we'll address that down the road. We'll address it down the road. Where are we at? Just looking at it now, and I don't want this to be a fatiguing question for you. If it is, I apologize, but I do think it's important because they didn't keep J.D. Martinez. They did make him a pretty substantive offer. Paul is sitting here a year, you know, what is it, less than 2 years away where he could be out of here. Where are things at from your view with Goldschmidt? Are they any different today?
You know, you look at clubs in the past that have had cornerstone players who are a year or two away, and they decide, let's do something to keep him. Now that the J.D. Martinez issue is out of the way,
yep.
And look, the big names that are going to be available next year are guys like Manny Machado or Bryce Harper or Josh Donaldson. They're probably not realistically going to entertain coming to the Diamondbacks. So you've got a cornerstone franchise-type player in Paul Goldschmidt. And like I said, now that the J.D. Martinez issue is out of the way, I would think that the Diamondbacks would probably sit down and say, let's try to get an extension done, even though there's two seasons left on his deal. But you know what you have. You know the work ethic involved. You're not playing a guessing game as to what kind of person is Paul Goldschmidt? Is he going to fit in? We all know he fits in perfectly. And guys like this do not come around very often. So, I mean, if I'm the Diamondbacks, I think I'm saying, all right, JD's out of the way. Now let's concentrate on keeping, you know, somebody who's considered one of the top 5 players in the game.
Okay, so he's out of the top 10 right now in terms of salary for first baseman. I want to say he was 11th or 12th the last time I looked. And Pedro, is there anything that you hear behind the scenes in that his group, because he changed agents a year ago, which to me was a clear sign that he's trying to get his ducks in a row. Is there anything that says to you, because he's never, ever, ever going to say, I'm not happy with my deal?
No, he would never say that. You're right. And I think that, yeah, changing agents is a signal that, okay, well, I'm not going to just sign for anything.
Right.
You know, it's going to have to be something that's competitive and in line with the top guys. But you look at a guy like Eric Hosmer, who just signed 5 for, I think it was either 100 or 105. Look, if the Diamondbacks could somehow get that type of contract for Paul Goldschmidt, I think that works in the Diamondbacks' favor. I'm not sure that Goldschmidt's representatives are willing to say, yeah, that's the deal we want, because Goldschmidt does provide more power,
yes,
than Hosmer. But if you can get somewhere in that ballpark, I think you've got to jump at it. And Goldschmidt is the type of guy who, he doesn't work for his agent. His agent works for him. So if Goldschmidt is presented with an offer that he thinks is fair, I do think that Goldschmidt will say, let's do it now.
Okay, so that leads me then to this next, the follow-up on this, and we'll wrap it up here. You talked about Pollock and how they need to get something done with him. You've talked about Goldschmidt now and the opportunity to get something done with him and not let either one of these players go through free agency. To me, it feels as though if they were to get off to a good start this year, that things could go in that direction. Pedro, if they do not get off to a good start this year, and if this is a team around mid-July that is, or 1st of July, it's not flourishing, are they going to try to be sellers? And would guys like Pollock in particular? I don't think he could ever trade Goldschmidt. But in Pollock's case, do they become a seller?
You know, I think it's one of those situations where they may say, let's say they are not off to a good start. Let's say it's June 1st and the club is not doing well.
Right.
I think at that point, you kind of put on a full court press and say, okay, here's the offer we have for you. You know, are you interested in negotiating at this point? And if Pollock and Pollock's people say, no, we're not, then I think, yes, they probably do say, okay, what can we get for a guy like A.J. Pollock at this point?
Right.
But I think you always try to get something done. And if it just doesn't look like it will be able to be done, then you say, let's go. And that's kind of what the Tigers did last year with J.D. Martinez, by the way. Mm. They did come up to him and say, hey, how about if we try to work something out? And J.D. said, no, I'm going to hit the agency and see what the value is. And at that point, the Tigers said, okay, let's see what we can get.
Is Tomas on the opening day roster, or do they buy him out?
I don't think they buy him out. God, it's such an enigma, almost.
Bad contract. Who knows what goes on? It's just brutal.
Well, they did what a few clubs did. They got drunk with the Cuban player at that time because you had seen Yasiel Puig, Yoenis Cespedes, and Jose Abreu 3 years in a row. Those guys came up, and they all were like comets. They were superstars immediately. And I think a lot of clubs said, we've got to get the next one. And so they kind of, went like, drunk sailors on sea, on leave. It's like, let's go. Let's just buy it, whatever. Mm. And, it's a regrettable contract for the front office. But buying him out, that's way, way, way too much money. You have to try to get something. But I think you've got to get him on the ball field first to see if there's any value for him.
Yeah, I'm trying
to think. I think they at least wait.
Yeah, because Russ Ortiz would have been the last one they bought out, if I remember correctly.
Yes, and that was a 4-year, $32 million, and I think they bought him out after year one, so there was about $24 million. But you're looking at Tomas, who is still owed like $47 or $48 million over the next 3 years. So that's quite a bit of a difference from a $24 million buyout.
All right, thanks for the time as always. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, Brad, always great.
See you soon. There's Pedro Gomez with us. Always good to catch up with Pedro, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. Al Roker and Larry Fitzgerald are going to be tied together in the next segment. You can't script this stuff when you it's very funny to me. And Al put something out on social about Larry and the two of them are together in South Korea. So I will have that for you on the other side and a few other things. I'm Brad Sussmat. So Al Roker, I like Al Roker. I'm one of those guys that Al's harmless. Al is actually a very, very smart businessman. He has companies outside of what you see on the Today Show. He's doing all sorts of things where he gets off the air after doing Beatrice so-and-so from Kansas, who's 104 and is on the Smucker's jar. He does more than that. That's what's going on in your neck of the woods and all that. So I bring Al Roker up in the Today Show because Larry Fitzgerald came across Al Roker. Do we have these? On Twitter. So to set it up, so Al's caught up with Fitz. Except the problem is he refers to him as former NFLer. Like, is this breaking news? This is over in South Korea.
Fitz doesn't even look like a former NFL player. He looks like a current NFL player.
Former. I love that, Eric. When I saw this, it was... Come on. But, do you correct poor Al Roker? Well, so suddenly Al starts getting hammered. I saw where Mark Dalton of the Cardinals sent over we got to get Al up to speed and that sort of thing. And so this became a social media deal yesterday about Al Roker having breaking news on.
Poor Al Roker. He wasn't even trying to stir the pot on social media. He was just trying to put out something nice on Twitter about great meeting / seeing Larry Fitzgerald. And if he just would have taken out that one word,
former,
the F word,
the,
just,
that,
just would have gotten
word.
Rid of that F word,
that F word,
he would have been just fine.
Are you going to go to any of the 6A championship games for basketball this week or semifinals?
Possibly. I might be going out of town. I am planning on covering the finals next week, and I'm crossing my fingers that it's Pinnacle Brophy, 1-2, because they had a great game earlier this year.
So I'm bringing this up because you've seen Nico Mannion.
I have.
Okay, so
I've seen him twice.
You've seen him twice. You guys know this through the years watching us. We're going to tell you who we would suggest. I'm not going to say you need to, but I will say if you like local basketball, you need to. Right? Is he in that next line of great ones?
I think so. Pinnacle guard. He's only a sophomore. He's already gotten tons of national recognition, and it's pretty evident that by the time he's a senior, he's going to be even better than he is right now, and he's pretty talented right now.
So
Pace Mannion is his dad for those diehard NBA fans that remember Pace Mannion.
Shooter with the Pacers, right?
Played with the Jazz, I believe.
Pacers,
and
too, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was. I don't want to say he was a journeyman because he definitely played. He had some time in the NBA, but that is Nico Mannion's dad, so the bloodlines are there.
So 4:30 tomorrow. I'm actually thinking tomorrow I'm going to stretch the day out, E, and at ASU tomorrow at 4:30, Desert Vista, who's supposedly really good this year, I've not seen them in person, is playing against Pinnacle in the semis. I'm always of the opinion that the semis are better than the finals. That doesn't always prove to be true. But when you're trying to get to the championship game, this is what you want. You need to see Nico Mannion, and just a suggestion to you. And I'm going to see him tomorrow at 4:30. We have a Brophy tomorrow night that plays as well against Mount Point. I have not seen them. Shadow Mountain plays Friday
over
GCU.
It doesn't matter.
You don't want to see Shadow?
It doesn't matter who Shadow Mountain's playing. They're going to win.
You don't want to see Shadow?
They're going to win.
I think people should see Shadow. And I saw where Centennial's an 11th seed, and Centennial is really the cool little story here in the postseason in basketball. So get out there and enjoy it. One last note today. Today is Charles Barkley's birthday. I bring this up every year because Charles is one of those Valley treasures. And as he gets older and older, and actually, in my opinion, one of those treasures in his post-NBA career that I admire even more for some of the things that he has said, some of the stances he has taken. I do not always agree with him. I hope you don't always agree with everybody on everything in life. That makes life to be very boring. But Charles today turns 55. And I was watching him Sunday night during the All-Star game, like at halftime. And I mentioned to my wife, it's got to be All-Star weekend because Charles's voice is almost gone, which means he's been partying his backside off and staying out morning, noon, and night. And they come right out and on camera, on cue almost, Kenny says, yeah, and Charles, you have your All-Star weekend voice going because you've been going and going and going. It's just funny when that happens. I think his line after Fergie at halftime was, I needed a cigarette after hearing that. That was pretty funny. That's why we like having him around. But today, Charles turns 55. Tonight, there's nothing tonight in terms of college or pro sports that, in my view, is worth watching. So you need to watch the Brad Sesmat Football AZ TV show tonight. Jordan is going to be hosting that. The Coyotes and the Suns are not playing until Thursday. So that's when they get back at it. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric, as always, produces. Thanks to Pedro Gomez. Enjoy your Tuesday.